At about 1:30, container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware in our trainer by car. Been in Baltimore Harbor many times. The bridge collapsed, sending several people and vehicles into the water, into the river, and multiple U.S. Coast Guard units, which are stationed very nearby, thank God, were immediately deployed along with local emergency personnel.
Be advised, the entire bridge, the entire Key Bridge in the harbor.
At this point, we do not believe that we're going to find any of these individuals still alive. We are going to suspend the active search and rescue efforts.
Yeah, just obviously a horrible event that took place yesterday morning with that giant Maersk container ship striking the bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, completely destroying the main two spans of it that, you know, are where the channel is. So the channel is closed. The port is closed. Nothing can get in and out. And they had to already call off the rescue efforts because it was too much risk to the divers with all of that metal in and around the area. Once they determined that the two had survived out of the eight that were left on the bridge because they were working on potholes or whatever. But one thing that was, I mean, a really good thing in the process is that, you know, when they realized that they were about to run the risk of hitting the bridge, they got a hold of somebody in, you know, public safety or the transportation department and told them, and the cops got out there and actually closed both ends of the bridge. You can see, like, 30 seconds or so before the bridge was hit, that there's trucks going across, like a couple of headlights go right across the bridge in some of the video, and then they get across, the police closed it down just in time.
Any one of you guys on the south side, one of you guys on the north side, hold all traffic on the Key Bridge. There's a ship approaching that just lost their steering. So until you get that under control, we got to stop all traffic.
That's amazing. How many other people could have been hurt or killed if they hadn't thought to contact the authorities and the authorities hadn't quickly got police out there to close off the bridge to other traffic? Frankly, that's a, you know, God moment. I mean, that's just an amazing thing. You did have, let's say, eight people fell in. Two were rescued. One needed hospitalization. The other one did not want to go to the hospital. Everything points to it being an accident, as Biden said yesterday. I'm reluctant to ever say, you know, what is likely, but some of the video that showed the power of the ship going off and then coming back on and then going off again, and then it went off, of course, when the ship collided. What exactly happened, obviously, it'll take a little bit of time to know. Yes, Biden said a stupid thing in his first comment when he said that he had been on that bridge many times by car and by train. There's no train tracks on that bridge. It's not a train bridge. I mean, I don't know if he can't help himself or he doesn't know or doesn't understand or doesn't remember or, you know, whatever. That's all not that relevant for the story. It just is something, you know, I know conservatives yesterday seized on this quite a bit, which is, you know, typical. You know, sometimes you choose which things not to attack, right? You just say, okay, yes, that was a stupid gaffe. Yes, he shouldn't have said it. But, I mean, in the grand scheme of what happened yesterday, that's surely the smallest element of this story. The big element of this story, of course, is the, you know, the people who lost their lives, the impact of the rescuers and responders. And we want to thank them for what they've done. But then the ongoing economic impact to Baltimore, the East Coast, and really to the world because of this loss of a major shipping hub.
Here's what's happening now. The search and rescue operation is our top priority. Ship traffic in the Port of Baltimore has been suspended until further notice, and we'll need to clear that channel before the ship traffic can resume. The Army Corps of Engineers is on the spot and is going to help lead this effort to clear the channel.
Absolutely. I mean, you're talking about tens of million dollars a day. What is it? I mean, several, $80 billion, I think, was the number that went through there last year in volume. The biggest roll-on, roll-off, ro-ro container ship transfer facility for cars in the country. $15 million in daily economic activity. 15,000 people who work at the port, 140,000 other jobs that are dependent on port activity, and that's all on pause. I mean, we know. We suffered a much smaller version of something similar here when Three Mile Bridge and all the impact that that had, everybody had to go around, and that affected businesses. Thank goodness our port, you know, which is not nearly as active a port as this is, was, you know, the port is on the clear side of the bridge, right? The that, you know, barge traffic Okay, but barge traffic can go through a lot of different places. It doesn't have to go right through the the high point of the bridge. So we're actually going to talk with Clark Merritt about that in about 30 minutes. He's the port director for Pensacola about, you know, what this kind of stuff, whether it's possible to happen here in Pensacola, what this means, what we do to prevent anything like this, because we have seen bridge outages here. Biden vowing to get this rebuild done. And, you know, step one is to get the channel cleared now that they've called off the search. Step one would have been, you know, finding any survivors. Then step two, which is now step one, is to get the channel cleared so that shipping can resume. That's the big thing. And then the step three is going to get that bridge back in service, which will be the more long-term project.
My transportation secretary is there now. As I told Governor Moore, I've directed my team to move heaven and earth to reopen the port and rebuild the bridge as soon as humanly possible. And we're going to work hand in hand with the support of Maryland to support Maryland, whatever they ask for. We're going to work with our partners in Congress to make sure the state gets the support it needs.
And that's why you have a federal government for exactly this kind of thing.
It's my intention that federal government will pay for the entire cost of reconstructing that bridge. And I expect the Congress to support my effort. This is going to take some time. The people of Baltimore can count on us, though, to stick with them at every step of the way until the port is reopened and the bridge is rebuilt.
Yeah, and again, the sooner step is going to be reopening the port because you're going to get the channel cleared by the Coast Guard and the Army Corps, and then, you know, eventually they're going to get that bridge rebuilt. 30,000 cars a day is a big deal for Baltimore, but it is nowhere near the size of the impact of the loss of the port activities and export around the world. I mean, people are talking about the possibility of this affecting, you know, foreign markets. Oil is one of the things that I believe I was ready to say was mentioned in there. Or sorry, coal, not oil. So again, there's a lot of economic impact from this. Let's see. 437-1620. Jake has got our traffic on the files. Jake.
I'm not seeing any major slowdowns or accidents to report this morning. It looks like on Highway 98 eastbound, we're seeing our normal morning slowdown getting by the Walmart Supercenter on the east side of Navarre. Also, a little bit further down the road there, seeing our normal morning congestion getting up to the light at the McDonald's at Parrish Boulevard heading into Windhaven Beach. Other than that, around town, I'm not seeing any slowdowns on the roadways. If you see anything out there, let us know about it. You can call or text our traffic tip line. That phone number is 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you've got a business, you've got employees, you've got benefits like health, dental, vision, life, disability, you got to manage HR, you got to manage payroll, and it's going great and you love it and you're happy, and when I say that, your left eye doesn't twitch, great. I mean, great. Do what you're doing. Or, you know, if maybe it's things aren't so great, or you're frustrated, or you wonder even, maybe things are okay, but you wonder if there's great, better out there, call Torgerson Causey. Have them come do a no-obligation review of what you're doing and see if they can save you money, give your employees some options, and make their life and your life better, which is kind of why you do benefits in the first place, right? I know we started using them here at News Radio in Cat Country about 7 years ago, and they've been great. The first thing they did when they came on board is they gave us plan options we didn't have before. They have consistently given us better options, you know, than would otherwise be available. I mean, they're not miracle workers. They can't make things exist that don't exist. But I always feel like we have the best of what's possible from them. And they answer our questions as detailed and specific as they might be, coming from my engineer wife. And she always gets answers that satisfy her. And that's an endorsement you don't get easily. Torgerson Causey, give them a call at 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
You love your car or truck, right? We love it too. This is Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories. For a cooler summer and protections from harmful UV rays, we'll tint the windows. For safety and security, we have alarms, backup cameras, and dash cams. And for the most beautiful vehicle on the block, our full detailing service will make it look brand new. We have so many custom accessories, it's impossible to list them all here. So come see us at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories on Industrial Boulevard at W Street, just north of Marcus Point Baptist Church.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Easter is more than just colorful eggs, chocolate bunny rabbits, and pretty baskets. All those things may have their place, but I invite you to join us at Northstone Baptist Church as we consider the primary message of Easter, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you visit, you'll find that Northstone is a welcoming group of Christ-centered believers right here in Pensacola. Also for Easter Sunday, our choir will present an Easter cantata entitled The Easter Lily. This cantata will be fun for children and people of all ages. The service starts at 10:30, and after the cantata, everyone is invited to join us for a lunch fellowship. Easter Sunday is a celebration of Jesus' victory over death and therefore his offer of eternal life. So please be our guest Easter Sunday, March 31st at Northstone Baptist Church here in Pensacola. I hope to see you there.
For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us today at 10 o'clock on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
So if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
You just want attention. You don't want my heart. Maybe you just hate the thought of me with someone new. Yeah, you just want attention.
Like that's kind of a personal attack. I feel a little bit I feel unsafe. Come on, Joey.
The truth hurts.
Well, there is good reason for the long-standing expression, a face for radio. Mm-hmm. Long-standing. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News at 7:23. Kind of an interesting, odd little story in Studio 850. I love John Singley. He's a good friend. He's a very good journalist, and he's such a wonderful guy. And what I like about Studio 850 on Facebook is he provides news that not necessarily everybody else. You know, I like interesting stuff that I don't see somewhere else. And, you know, for example, I like the New York Post. I know it's a tabloid, but I see stories there before I see them anywhere else, and they always have a lot of weird stuff that I'm not going to do on the radio, but they also always, every day, I find a couple of stories there. Studio 850 for local stuff is just, I mean, very, very good at what he does. And yesterday, he put one out that was, it's almost a teaser. Like, it's not really fair. The story is, he's looking up in the sky and he sees a plane going back and forth over the area. Well, that's weird. And then he sees that plane some more and some more and some more going back and forth. So he's like, all right, my interest has peaked. I'm going to find out what's going on. Well, it turns out, you know, he looked at the sort of the aviation logs that are available, and, you know, the plane was doing a crisscross pattern over basically all of Pensacola south of I-10, all the way from the water to the water, back and forth, even out into the water. And, you know, he says it's registered in Canada, looked up the tail number. I think I say that now. I know they call it a Buno in the military. I don't know if it's a Buno if it's in the civilian, but anyway, it's the tail number. Canadian Aviation Databases belongs to a company called Excalibur Smart Mapping. He says that might be headquartered in Spain. That's not all clear. The website's not that specific, and they have a very generic mission statement. Our country mapping solutions encompass groundbreaking offerings across new renewable energies, critical raw materials, water management, environmental stewardship, and biodiversity preservation, which will tell you nothing. It sounds like the old Dilbert mission statement generator. But short version is somebody paid a fair amount of money in order to do some kind of survey of the Pensacola area, and we don't at this point know exactly what it is. And I have questions, and now I'm kind of curious. So who knows? But there you go. Studio 85 doing an interesting report yesterday. 7:25 on News Radio 92.3. Jake's got traffic on the fives. Jake?
Well, this traffic report is brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Not seeing any major slowdowns on our roadways this morning. No accidents reported by FHP. I-10 and I-110 look like they're flowing smoothly. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre looks good. We're seeing our normal morning slowdowns headed out of Navarre on 98 East, getting by the Walmart Supercenter and the new Publix in Windhaven. And then, of course, we're seeing a little bit more of a slowdown getting up to the light at the McDonald's at Parrish Boulevard. But that's usual for this time of morning. Otherwise, around town, we're looking great. If you see anything out there on the roadway slowing you down or you see an accident along your way this morning, let us know about it. Call or text 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. David Wayne now in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Supreme Court heard arguments on a case yesterday that would limit access to the abortion pill mifepristone. Justices reviewing an appeals court decision blocking recent FDA changes that made the medication more widely available. Thousands of people are expected
who
to
got,
get...
Who got notified? That was so loud.
That was me.
Was
sorry.
That Jake?
Yeah, that was me.
I feel like somebody hit my my cartoon character in the head with a springy metal piece. Go ahead, David.
Thousands of people are expected to gather today in Nashville to remember the victims of the Convent school shooting. Today, the one-year anniversary of the school shooting that claimed six lives. Organizers at that event say 13,000 people are expected to form a four-mile human chain from the Children's Hospital to the state capitol. And a landlord in Wisconsin, Andrew, is asking for an eviction.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell. I've invented the world's most comfortable pillow. I make them right here in the United States.
Apparently in Minnesota, because that's where they're hoping to evict MyPillow. According to court documents, MyPillow hasn't paid more than $200,000 in rent for their facility in Shakopee.
Ruh-roh. Okay. All right. David, thanks so much for the update. 7:27 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, David, yesterday, since you were talking about this yesterday, you were reporting on Robert Kennedy Jr. Picking his, running mate.
Yes.
Okay. And I do a lot of ignoring stuff because, there's only so much bandwidth and, what things am I going to pay attention to? And somebody said, Andrew, you should pay more attention to this RFK Jr. story. He's could disrupt the election. Okay, so I did manage to, I read yesterday a story about how there was a panicky Democrat call about how he is jeopardizing the Biden administration's run for reelection, and they're concerned about the impact that he will have on the election. I'm like, what is he polling at? 8%. Oh, sorry, 10%. He's polling at 10% right now. Now, it's not what you poll at that matters. It's what you get in electoral swing states, right? That's what really matters. But nobody does enough research to really have that information well all the time. Polling at 10% is no joke. Ross Perot in the second election was 8%. In the first election was 18%. He's right in that zone. And he definitely won the election for Bill Clinton over George H.W. Bush. So this is a no-joke kind of scenario for people who are concerned about the presidency. He's got a very good chance of having an influence on this election, especially
Absolutely.
In a case where so many people just want somebody else.
Absolutely. Well, in the Kennedy name in itself, they'll
right.
pull a lot of people.
Now, in the I just want somebody else, I don't know if he fits the checkboxes for the alternative, but people who don't want to vote for Biden or Trump. Yeah. David, thanks so much for that update and for, making me pay more attention to that story because I had not really been. 437-1620, NFL has approved new kickoff rules. It's going to look like the XFL, basically. And I watched a video of the XFL that I think is how this is going to work. The kickoff and then the returner, nobody can move until the returner touches the ball. And everybody's pretty close to the returner to begin with. Like on their side of the field, it's to cut down on the high impact collisions. Everybody running full speed at and hitting into each other for safety, obviously. So I don't know. We'll see. I will tell you, I understand the argument against kickoffs and punt returns because of the safety factor. But what is the single most exciting play in all of football? It's a kickoff or punt return for a touchdown. There's no question that is the most exciting thing that ever happens. I mean, even a pick six. There's something about kickoff returns where it's like not going to happen. So that's There's something about that. And losing that from the sport, not that it can't happen under the circumstance, it's just not the same anymore. You know, that's the problem. 7:30 on News Radio 92.3. Coming up next, what could happen at the Port of Pensacola or with our various bridges, Perdido Key, Bob Sykes, 3 Mile, Escambia Bay? What kind of safety issues might be involved with boating and barges? We'll talk to Clark Merritt. He is the port director for the Port of Pensacola. We'll talk to him coming up next after the news.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Federal investigators have collected the data recorder from the ship that crashed into the Key Bridge in Baltimore. Divers are looking for 6 bodies.
Investigations into what happened aboard the cargo ship Dolly are in progress. The mayday call from its crew is credited with saving lives.
Yeah, if we can stop traffic, just make sure no one's on the bridge right now.
Those 6 victims were part of a construction crew working on the bridge early Tuesday when the ship smashed into the bridge, destroying it.
Fox's Evan Brown. There's one big Mega Millions lottery winner, a ticket sold in New Jersey for the $1.1 billion jackpot.
It's the 5th largest prize in the history of the game. If the winner opts for the lump sum, they'd get over $537 million before taxes. The jackpot winner overcoming the odds of 1 in 302 million. There were 13 second prize winners, each winning $1 million.
Fox's Chris DeMeo, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got beautiful sunny skies. It is 56 degrees in Pensacola. A Gulf Breeze man who killed his mother as a teenager could be moved to a step-down mental health treatment center in Tallahassee. The now 28-year-old Brandon Adelot was in court this week. The News Journal reports doctors believe his mental health has now improved. Last year, the Department of Children and Families said Adelot no longer met the criteria to be placed at the Florida State Hospital. 2 additional mental health professionals have now evaluated Adelot, come to the same conclusion, recommending he be moved to that step-down facility. Adelot has been at the Florida State Hospital since 2016. He was placed there after being found not guilty by reason of insanity for killing his mother on Christmas Eve of 2013. Some family members say he should be kept in a secure facility for the rest of his life. But if he goes down to that step-down facility, the goal would be to eventually reintroduce him into society. He'll be back in court in August before a decision on his placement will be made. Escambia County's Board of Commissioners approved a resolution last week prohibiting the use of excessive force against nonviolent civil rights protesters. That resolution apparently is tied to a request for federal funding through the Community Development Block Grant Program.
That's the first I've heard about this particular resolution, which is I find odd because we resolve to do that every day. We have a policy that would prohibit excessive use of force. I'm not sure why you need a resolution. I guess it's a little insulting in that regard.
That is Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. He clarified it wasn't personally insulting. He just says it's insulting that the issue is something that even has to be discussed, as it's been a priority for his office and law enforcement officers in general since the 1970s. The resolution was approved by the Escambia Board of Commissioners last week. Well, there is a new candidate for a seat on the Escambia School Board with a familiar last name. Carissa Burgosh, wife of First Judicial Circuit Court Judge Gary Burgosh, has now pre-filed for the District 4 seat. Burgosh currently works as the school liaison officer on board NAS Pensacola, helping military families with their schooling needs. The District 4 seat is currently occupied by Patty Hightower, who so far hasn't decided whether she'll seek re-election or retire. The Santa Rosa County School District now cutting ties with an online tutoring service after concerns of ties to China.
While Tutor.com maintains they're an American company, their website indicates that parent company Primavera Holdings Limited is a firm owned by Chinese nationals. Yesterday, Florida Education Commissioner Manny Diaz sent a letter to districts that said districts, quote, should not contract with companies that have ties to foreign countries of concern. According to Channel 3, Santa Rosa district leaders say their partnership is now ending. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Joe. And Florida taking steps now to protect thousands of acres of land. Governor Ron DeSantis announcing yesterday that he and the cabinet have approved an investment to protect 28,000 acres of natural land. It's the first land acquisition within the Caloosahatchee Big Cypress Corridor. He calls it an important Everglades and panther habitat. The governor says it'll protect natural lands for Florida's families to enjoy for generations to come. 735 at News Radio. Jake's got our traffic on the fives.
Okay, this traffic report is brought to you by Knox Pest Control because I forgot to read the copy on the last traffic break. Looks like Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is flowing smoothly this morning. I-10 and I-110, not seeing any problems there. Highway 29 south through Cantonment is accident-free. If you're coming out of Milton through Pace this morning on Highway 90, not showing any problems there. And looks like Chase Street, Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox, all checking in clear. If you see anything out there on the roadways slowing you down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. And Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, Jake. And Brooke Richardson has our forecast with Channel 3.
We will have plenty of sunshine today with a high near 74 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 50 degrees. Beautiful and a little breezy on Thursday. Sunny skies, high near 71. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 48. Sunshine continues into Friday with a high near 72 and a low near 54. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, it is 56 in Pensacola, 57 in Gulf Breeze, and 54 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Port of Baltimore has indefinitely suspended shipping traffic after the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge yesterday. Economists say this is a maritime disaster, but not an economic crisis. The auto sector is predicted to experience the most significant supply disruptions, shipping delays, and ultimately product shortages. Ford and General Motors have both announced they are working to divert shipments amid the closure. Nearly 850,000 vehicles go through Baltimore's port every year. Moderna has announced positive clinical trial data on three experimental vaccines and said it will move those shots to final stage studies. The update brings Moderna a step closer to having multiple products on the market, which it desperately needs amid plunging demand for COVID shots worldwide. Futures are moderately higher. The NASDAQ, the Dow Industrials, and the S&P 500 futures are all in record high territory. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 115. That's your money now.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Hey, Pensacola. It's Christina Leavenworth with the Leavenworth team at Leavenrinke Realty. Your home is your most valuable asset, so make sure you're hiring a professional, the Leavenworth team. The Leavenworth team has the knowledge and expertise to help you buy or sell your home with confidence. Don't even think about making a real estate move without at least talking to us first. Contact us today at 850-378-1260. The Leavenworth team. Experience matters, and we're here to help.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mayor D.C. Reeves is out this week, and I thought You know, just because of current events, who would be a perfect person to have on in his stead? Clark Merritt, who is the Port of Pensacola director, longtime assistant to... pardon me, longtime assistant director, but now he has moved into the to Amy Miller, who has now moved up in the city as one of the deputy city managers. But, you know, he has been the port director for now 3 years, which seems simultaneously like yesterday and 10 years ago. Clark, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
It sure does, Andrew. It tends to go by quickly and very, very slowly sometimes.
I think the older we get, the faster it goes. I'm just saying, I've noticed that myself. It does seem to go by a lot quicker than it used to. I just wanted to talk with you. Right. You and I talked a little bit yesterday about this as well, but obviously with the events that took place in Baltimore, my first question was, you know, hey, what kind of protocols for safety do we have in place here in Pensacola? How are we or are we not vulnerable to anything like this? We are obviously a very different kind of port, very different kind of setup with our bridges, different kinds of boat traffic doesn't come here. But I just wanted to hear from you because you're the port director, your thoughts about what happened and kind of how any of that might be relevant here in Pensacola.
Sure, Andrew. I certainly appreciate the time. And what a tragic event in Baltimore with that large container ship, you know, losing power at probably the worst time. Pensacola is a little bit different, as you're aware. The port is a direct line to the Gulf of Mexico, so there are no overhead bridges or structures or anything that the boats that call on Pensacola have to worry about. Which is actually a selling point for the Port of Pensacola because it's one of the quickest transits in and out of the port along the Gulf of Mexico. It takes about maybe a little over an hour, whereas some ports, let's say Houston, it could take you 8 hours to get to the port from the Gulf of Mexico. Now, there are similarities. We do have a state-licensed pilot that brings in every ship and takes out every ship. That calls on the port, and that's a state law. And he is a trained professional, and he understudied for several years under the other pilot who just retired. And additionally, we use tugs. I'm sure people have seen the tugs out on Pensacola Bay, and escorting the ship as it comes in. And not only do those tugs help assist the docking of the ship when it comes in and when it goes out, but it's also there in case the ship loses power, which, as we saw, with the Baltimore accident, is exactly what happened. So those tugs can actually direct the ship away from, let's say, you know, keep it in the channel if it were to lose power, or let's say it's headed right towards the dock or the berths or downtown Pensacola. They can work to avoid some sort of tragic accident. So there are parallels. Go ahead.
And I think that's something that as soon as you and I talked yesterday, it clicked with me that, you know, even the large ships that appreciate not having to, you know, deal with overhead clearance issues going under a bridge to get to our port of Pensacola, that because they don't have to cross a bridge, we just literally don't quite have this same sort of threat. But at the same time, you know, if a ship were heading towards the port and lost control, you could theoretically see where it could become a threat to Three Mile Bridge particularly. And that's, as you say, that's why we have tugs. That's, you know, we do have measures designed for that, of course. I was even then I started thinking about, okay, so not so much an issue with ships, not really, but obviously barges transit, you know, these bridges all the time, you know, especially the Three Mile Bridge, the Escambia Bay Bridge. I'm sure there are large vessels and maybe barge traffic that goes across the Perdido Key Bridge and the Bob Sykes Bridge as well. What kind of safety, what kind of protocols are in place to make sure, because as we know, barges, still very heavy, still very capable of doing a lot of damage. What kind of safety measures are in place to protect the bridges from that danger?
Well, that's a great question, Andrew, and that's a little out of my league. But you're right. The barges move through the intercoastal 24/7. All our fuel comes in via barge. The fuel that supplies NAS Pensacola for the jets, that comes in via barge. And it's a choke point right there at Pensacola Pass as the intercoastal intersects the access to the Gulf of Mexico. It's a very precarious situation if the mariners aren't really paying attention or if the weather is kind of squirrely, which is back to the Pensacola pilot, that's one of his highest areas of concern or high stress levels, is when he's bringing a big 800-foot ship in and he's got to make that turn intersecting the intercoastal, and he has to deconflict with barge traffic. Those barges, they all talk to each other as they're transiting. They are very heavy, but they are professional mariners, and that's what they do for a living. And I would submit that we see very few accidents. I mean, I've been at the port 10 years now, and other than, of course, the Skanska debacle, I have not heard of a barge accident or an issue where, let's say, a barge has had to divert to Port of Pensacola because of damage or something along those lines. Now, the Coast Guard regulates that industry, mm-hmm. similar to the FAA and aviation. So, I mean, it's a professional organization, and safety is always paramount for these maritime operations.
And, I will note, I didn't comment at the time when you said it, but I will note that the water and port guy said that it was a question that was out of his league. so I appreciate that. I have other questions that are, not necessarily in your area of expertise, but you're kind of the closest person I could find to it. I'll ask you in just a second, because I also think the Coast Guard role here is very important for people to understand. And I don't think everybody necessarily does, even myself, I don't necessarily do. And that's why I want to talk with you about it. We're talking to Clark Merritt. He is the director for the Port of Pensacola. Hang on just a second, Clark. Let's get Jake in here. Traffic on the fives.
Not seeing any major slowdowns on our roadways. No accidents reported by FHP. We're seeing our normal morning slowdown headed out of Navarre on Highway 98 eastbound, getting into Windhaven Beach. Once you hit the new Publix at Windhaven Plaza, it's going to be a little bit slow heading up to the light at the McDonald's at Parrish Boulevard. If you see anything else out there on the roadways, let me know about it. 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to Clark Merritt, the director of the Port of Pensacola. So just because this is the situation that happened in Baltimore, okay? So let's imagine that we do have a big boat coming in, something that's going to dock at the Port of Pensacola. Wouldn't normally transit a bridge, but, okay, something bad happens. They lose power. They're off track, off course. What would happen? Like, what would be the order of events at that point?
Well, it would fall under the Coast Guard. Coast Guard immediately would come to action. There's various Coast Guard assets. Of course, search and rescue would be paramount. We would be contacted. We would launch our security boat that the port has, a little rescue security boat that's available to us. And of course, the city has a fire department boat. We practice emergencies with the fire department, Pensacola Fire Department. They come to the port. They've done waterborne exercises in the past, so it is something that it is trained for. But the Coast Guard would be the incident commander. The county might even activate, let's say the bridge was damaged. The county might activate their emergency management plans, like they would for a hurricane. Once again, the city falls under the county in that structure, and Chief Jenny Craner is the city's lead point of contact for that. So she would have to coordinate with us and with the various federal agencies, the Coast Guard being the primary one, to complete the search and rescue efforts, and hopefully everybody would be safe. And then it becomes a salvage operation. So as you can see with the Baltimore pictures, it's going to be a nightmare. They're going to have to get large barges out there, ships with large cranes to pick that steel up and cut it. I mean, this is going to be a months-long project to open up that channel. And it, just like a hurricane, the Coast Guard's primary mission is to make sure that maritime commerce and activities can resume as soon and as safely as possible.
Absolutely.
So under the control of Sector Mobile, Pensacola falls under U.S. Coast Guard Sector Mobile. And the organizational structure there, they really take over the show.
And that's something that I think, you know, a lot of people fully understand the Coast Guard mission and role. A lot of people maybe don't fully understand it. They tend to think maybe that the Coast Guard is primarily about, you know, security for the, you know, obviously the coastline and interdiction. But it's also buoy tending. You know, we have the buoy tender here that sits in the center point for the Blue Angels show. We also, you know, clearing and maintaining waterways is a crucial mission for the Coast Guard. Whenever there's a storm, you know, they got to go and make sure that things are safe to be used again. You don't have boats down in the middle of the channel that are interfering with people. And, you know, just all of that stuff is not a role we necessarily think about. And even like we have cutters here, five, I think. That's not really what they do, but there are other vessels that, as you say, under Sector Mobile, they would operate in that regard. And I even remember, was it Sally? I think it was Sally when, you know, we had lost Three Mile Bridge and there was a worry that a loose tug or one of the barges was going to threaten the Escambia Bay Bridge. And I remember the sheriff at the time, you know, was basically saying, you know, we were thinking about how would we shoot down a barge. I mean, like, it's crazy the kinds of things that people have to imagine when you're dealing with massive threats to our commerce. No, that's all very, very useful. So that puts it all in perspective. And, you know, particularly the fact that our big ships don't come in through a bridge like obviously they do in Baltimore. I did want to give you a chance just to talk briefly, since we got you on the line, Clark. Anything I missed to ask or anything else that you think is relevant for people to know about this, the application here to Pensacola, what happened in Baltimore?
No, I just think the public should know that these are highly qualified and skilled people that work on the waterfront, you know, every day. And as I mentioned before, I mean, safety is their primary concern. They follow checklists just like pilots do when they fly. Their equipment is kept in top shape. I mean, it's a professional operation and they take it seriously, and they're doing it in all types of weather day and night, right? They're not out there on their pleasure boat when it's 85 degrees and beautiful with light winds. They're out there in the middle of January, with 4 and 5 foot seas, but that's what it takes to move cargo in and out to support the local economy. And then on a worldwide scene, in the maritime commerce, I mean, hey, that's how store shelves are stocked. I mean,
right.
Those containers that everybody saw on the Baltimore ship, I mean, those were exports going around the world. And the same type of thing happens on the import side. So it's a critical component. Things just don't magically show up on the store shelves. It takes a lot of logistics behind the scenes to make that happen. And it all starts with the ship, even in Pensacola. You know, bulk material is one of the primary cargoes for the Port of Pensacola with our long-term tenant, CMEX. They import bulk cement, which is taken to the local concrete batch plant, and it's used in construction projects across Northwest Florida. So, mm-hmm. It's a critical asset and a critical key in the economy regionally. So that's just a little area that sometimes loses focus.
Yeah, we don't. It's not always in the news, not always front of mind for a lot of people, but it's definitely essential. Clark Merritt, he is the Port of Pensacola director. Clark, I know you got lots of other things going on as well at the port. Just a quick update. Where are we at on American Magic? Where are we at on the pickleball facility?
Great questions. Both are moving forward. If you pickleball will hit that first, since there is active construction going on the site. If people are downtown around the ferry landing, they'll see that's the big building there to the left of the ferry landing if you're facing the bay.
Right.
And Rob Fabbro and his team are starting construction on those outdoor courts, which is going to be the first phase. I think the latest as far as him being open is around the early July timeframe.
Oh, okay.
So he is making good progress. American Magic, of course, is the kind of the flagship project for the port right now. The sailing team that is over in Barcelona trying to win back the America's Cup and bring it back to the United States. They are in engineering right now. So we are working with the architects and the engineers to convert the building in the center of the port that you can see from Bayfront, the big 50-foot roof structure, about 55,000 square feet, that will become the training facility and fabrication center for American Magic as they relocate their 120-plus employees down to Pensacola to set up shop. So we're really excited about that. Magic is not due to return after, you know, fingers crossed, winning the Cup until late this year, early into next year. So we've got some time to work on that building, and we're really excited. We're making great progress in that realm as well.
Very good.
Somebody had
let me know, Clark, that I guess we had in 1989, there was some kind of a strike on the Three Mile Bridge with barges and tugs. I was just trying to read up on it a little bit. So long before you were the port director, there was apparently an incident involving all of that. Clark Merritt, again,
I think I remember it. I think it shut the bridge down for a while. It was very disruptive, foreshadowing of what happened at Sally.
I was graduating high school in the Chicagoland area, so I was certainly not familiar with that at the time. Clark Merritt, he's the Port of Pensacola director. Clark, as always, thank you for being available. Thanks for doing what you do to guard our maritime commerce and make sure that the port operates efficiently and makes the city money, which it's been doing for recent years. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon, sir.
Great. Thank you, too, Andrew. See you.
Absolutely. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3. Jake's got traffic on the 5. Jake?
All right, we're seeing our normal morning slowdown on Highway 98 eastbound, getting out of Navarre into Windhaven Beach, starting at that new Publix at Windhaven Plaza, stretching up past the McDonald's at Parrish Boulevard. Also seeing some slowdown from an accident. This is going to be I-10 eastbound. Once you get past the interchange with Highway 29, you're going to start seeing some slowdowns there headed toward I-10 or I-110 interchange. So that'll be I-10 eastbound getting a little bit slow after. Actually, now it's starting to stretch back up toward Pine Forest. So once you get past Pine Forest, you'll start seeing some slowdown. And then once you get past Highway 29, you're going to see some really, really slow traffic there headed toward the interchange with I-110. If you see anything else out there on the roadway slowing you down, you can always let me know about it. 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the 5s.
It's Volkswagen's 75th anniversary sales event, and Feedmore Imports is offering low APR rates to help celebrate. How low? How about 0% for 60 months on all 2024 Tiguan models? Or take $2,000 in customer cash and 1.9% for 60 months on all 2024 Atlas and Atlas Cross Sport models. Or take $3,000 in customer cash. It's time to celebrate and get behind the wheel of a Volkswagen SUV or crossover today. There's plenty to go around, but with rates like these, they may not be around for long. And don't forget about the 2024 Jetta, Golf GTI, and Golf R. They're all available, too, at Feedmore Imports. Celebrate the Volkswagen 75th anniversary sales event at Feedmore Imports today. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Feedmore Imports is at 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualifying credit to PCI. Must take delivery by April 30th, 2024. See dealer for details.
Pinner Credit Union is here for every move-in day to the perfect home, every trip up the coast in the perfect car, for every business door unlocked, every dollar saved for something special, every dream achieved one goal at a time. We're here because Pinner Credit Union has been a part of this community since 1936. And with affordable lending, flexible accounts, easy access, and smart guidance, we're a perfect fit for the way you bank. Join us at pinner.org. You'll fit right in. Insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
I've been collecting watches since around 2018. Made my first big purchase thinking that was going to be my only watch. When you're looking at watches and you're doing them online, or if you're in the secondary market, it can be scary because there's a lot of fakes. And I really do focus in on coming into an authorized dealer like Berets for any of the Omega or Breitling purchases. They will let you try it on, take pictures, go home, think about it, and just really set your mind at ease.
Come visit us at Berets Jewelers.
News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
All right, we're back. 7:59 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne has got a headline or two for us in the newsroom. David?
Well, there's some reports out this morning saying the six missing people that fell into the water on the Baltimore Bridge collapse yesterday were apparently all migrants. Reports say the construction workers were mending potholes when the bridge collapsed. Two of the workers, of course, were rescued. Six still presumed dead.
All right, David. I'll have more local news coming up next after Fox.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.